In this episode of the Texas Private School Podcast, Midland Christian stuns Fort Worth Christian. There's a 5-overtime game in Tyler, significant controversy in Houston, and Liberty Christian survives in a stunner. All this and more on the Week 8 review of the Texas Private School Podcast. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Texas Private School Podcast. As always, I am 1/3 of your hosting crew, Wes Halls, and Walker Lott joins me from College Station, Texas. Ryan Schroeder will be phoning in here shortly, but you know, crazy enough, we all have real jobs and sometimes the schedules do not align. But for now, Walker, you join me. We asked this question on the slate, but going into it, we had it as the best slate of the year. I still think it is on the backside of it. I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. I think last week had a lot more upsets, right, where some craziness more happened. But I think the games in total as a whole, from top to bottom, were phenomenal this week. A lot of big games that had some big results for title implications, district implications, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, big week. Yeah, a really good weekend. And Ferrari just had a 1-2 in F1 at COTA today. Very happy about that. I had to shout out Ferrari. That's my team. So this is F1. I know you don't care, but no, you know, I have to.
I know Ferrari makes cars. That's about the extent of my knowledge of F1. But that being said, I want to shout out everyone that provided coverage for us this week because it was impressive. And even Ryan said as we started, because, you know, we have everyone tag us, everyone's associated with TXPS. And Ryan's like, dude, we got people everywhere. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of crazy to see what it's turned into. But Emily Waverly and Stephen, Emmy Waverly and Stephen at Brazos Christian, Central Texas Christian, Bradley at Fort Bend versus Cypress Christian, and then Andrea at Second Baptist TWCA. It's very nice to have kind of a web of people that, number one, are getting experience doing this, but number two, providing really good content for us. And more than anything, us knowing immediately what the scores of these games are as well, as I'm sure a bunch of you follow as well. But I want to thank all of them for that. We've had some fantastic interns thus far in the season. First, we will transfer into the TXPS Media Football Scoreboard. As always, we will subject the 5 games at the top of the far left column for later further analysis, but we will now, are the 6 games, actually, I forgot that we did 6 this week, but we will start with Prestonwood getting a nail-biter victory over Frisco Legacy, 35-28. There was a lot of talk that Prestonwood was banged up following the Liberty game, but regardless, for Legacy to have it a 1-score game versus Prestonwood, D1 North might be a little murkier than we thought.
No, yeah, absolutely. It looks like these games get the most out of these players, and it's hard to recover for the next week. But looking at the Nolan Catholic game, Bishop Lynch beats Nolan 42-17. Supposedly Ty Bradley had a really good game for Bishop Lynch in that one. So shout out to them. Shout out to the Friars.
Absolutely. St. Michael's best, Central Catholic 41-36. Honestly, didn't have it on my bingo card, but big win for the Warriors, rebranded from the old St. Michael's. Yeah, it's a big win. I need to dig deeper to see what happened there, but certainly an impressive showing from Jake Garcia's team.
Antonia Prep beats Houston St. Thomas 55-28 in a massive win. Supposedly Rogan Parson, man, had a dominant game, picked apart Houston St. Thomas, his defense. You know, we've talked about this kid being really special, and I think he's showing it in his sophomore year, especially in district. So shout out to Apaches. Big, big win. Shout out to Mikey Moreno.
And you got the next one as well.
Oh, you can't hide that Eagle pride. And Southwest Christian beats Grapevine Faith 21-14.
Fort Bend Christian destroys Cypress Christian 34-7. I don't know, man. I keep getting bamboozled by Cypress coaches thinking that John Kelly's going to play. Like we said, he might be in Kansas already for all we know. And the way Cypress' season's going, it might be a good decision. But got a shout out Fort Bend. Blake Hamilton apparently had a very impressive performance, notching a couple touchdowns early. He had a 98-yard kick return touchdown, to which Bradley Hanna said in all caps, "Unreal speed," which, seeing Blake Hamilton play, that's not very surprising. Defense stood up even without Max Granville. Good, good win for Fort Bend Christian.
Absolutely. Pantico Christian loses their undefeated mark to Lake Country 21-13. Shout out to Timmy Wright and the boys over there on the west side of Fort Worth or northwest side of Fort Worth. Big, big win for Lake Country.
In the battle for Loop 323, Tyler All Saints beats Bishop Gorman 16-14 in quintuple overtime. Five overtimes for the battle of Loop 323 against two Tyler schools that back in the day, one was pretty good. The other was always kind of stunk. But in the lower depths of Division Three, Tyler All Saints best. Shout out to Manny Miser and all the guys over there. That really is awesome to see. Apparently, no one had scored a touchdown in regulation of this game, and all the touchdowns came in the overtime, which is just it's fantastic. It's disgusting football, and I love it. But that being said, nobody outpicks me in Tyler. Even Tyler kids were calling me crazy for taking All Saints, and I kind of did too because All Saints stinks. But fantastic, fantastic victory for Tyler All Saints.
You know, that's a sickos committee type game right there. Absolutely. Waco Live Oak beats Mercy Culture 31-21. Mercy Culture coming in this year, we thought was going to be a good team in D4, and the surprising team in D4 this year has to be Waco Live Oak. They keep proving us wrong. They keep winning games, and I don't know how that's all going to plan out in the, you know, in the playoffs, but man, they could be a semifinal team for all I know coming into D4 this year. It could be a crazy run for Live Oak.
Moving into a stretch of SPC action, St. John's best St. Mark's 62-42. You kind of just got to credit St. Mark's offense for putting up 42 points. Now, a lot of that could have come in garbage time. I haven't seen, but St. John's keeps rolling, even seeming to be on the outside looking in of the playoff picture. And that really does just stink with how good of a season they've had. But a win here nonetheless.
Yeah, absolutely. And another win, massive win for ESD, 42-0 over John Cooper. John Cooper maybe is banged up, but I mean, I think it was to the point where the quarterback over there for ESD was out in the first half. Like it was a demolishing in the first half, and they didn't really look back. ESD, you know, can score a lot of points, it showed there.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, Jake Gerke had like 302 passing yards in the first half, and they were just like, "Yeah, you're done. There's no point to leave you in here." And that is how that turned out. But moving on to a game that is incredibly interesting for the structure of SBC 3A, Green Hill best Fort Worth Trinity Valley 38-26. So that quietly places Greenville at 3-1 in SBC 3A, 5-3 overall. Their one loss has been to Country Day. They play Houston Christian next week. They will lose to Houston Christian. But this is going to take some digging on our part to see where the standings turn out. But obviously Houston Christian's going to be one team. But now TVS, and that's the thing. I don't know if Benigishu played and that got into I so if they were holding him out to be healthy for, you know, a state appearance and they're following the rationale I was saying, that I was dead wrong because they lost to Green Hill. Long story short, huge, huge upset. Have to shout out Coach KJ Williams and the guys. That is a big, big win for Green Hill.
Yeah, I think talking to some people around that program, I think it could end to a three-way tie for the title game implications. But before I confirm that, I will have Jack Klosick go and do his research and let us figure it out that way. But another matchup here, Houston Christian beats Country Day 28-16 in a pretty close game. You know, that's somewhat of a, what is that, two-ish score game. But Houston Christian keeps undefeated, I believe, in SBC 3A. They're looking good, looking like the favorite we all thought they could be.
Austin Regents dominates Brentwood 42-14. Don't have a lot to say here. Regents is obviously very good with Jack Devine, Blake Smith, and others. Brentwood is not very good. No disrespect to them, just a good team beating a not so good team.
Absolutely. Looking to another team, St. Pius beats San Antonio TMI 55-7. I think this is interesting because St. Pius is having a rough year in TAPS D1, right? And they blew out San Antonio TMI. That shows how bad even TMI is doing this year. I don't know if you can, but they need to put an appeal into TAPS and get them down to D2. Truly, I mean that wholeheartedly. Like they do not need to stay in TAPS D1 this year. There's no point. There's truly no point.
Yeah, no, I think that is probably accurate. Speaking of teams that need to get out of their division, Bishop Dunn falls to Hyde Park 31-6. I don't think I've seen as stark of a fall off in Texas private school football as I've seen with Bishop Dunn. Bishop Dunn being one of the best teams in TXPS, regardless of classification, going to one of the worst teams in TXPS, regardless of classification. I mean, this isn't a rag on Dunn segment, but they're 0-7 on the year. I mean, just getting absolutely dominated in all these games, except for Atlas Homeschool, and they only lost, by three. It's just like, I mean this as respectfully as I can say it. You have to blow the whole program up. You gotta figure out what's going on and just get some dynamite in there. But for Hyde Park, good win. Yeah, that's my commentary on the game.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, man. I get it. That could be such a good team in D3 this year. You know what I mean? Just move them. I think they would at least fight. They wouldn't go 0-7. Just move them down a division.
I
That's
mean,
all I.
they would beat All Saints, not All Saints. They would beat Tyler All Saints actually and Bishop Gorman, but
Right.
maybe.
No, I think it would be interesting. And I'll ramble here while Ryan's setting up. I just think they could be a lot better in D3 than it is. They should just move down like they did once before. Anyways, moving to the next game, Fort Worth All Saints beat TCS Lubbock 43-6. Not much to say about that. I'll give TCS credit for holding All Saints to 40, I guess. I guess I'll say that.
I don't know if that's what they want to hear in Lubbock, but in all reality, it's about all you can hope for in that situation. Speaking of all you can hope for, DC beat Shelton 63-7. Shelton, former home of Texas A&M running back EJ Smith, who I played against in middle school. That's about all I can say about this game. Shelton stinks. DC's very good, but we are all already looking towards the hypothetical state matchup against Holy Cross, providing that they get past Lubbock Christian in the semis if it shakes out that way, because all of them competing in their own, not, yeah, that is right. All of them competing in their own districts means absolutely nothing to me because they are much better than their districts. That being said,
for Texas Private School Media. This week in private school football, Rust Christian defeated Central Texas Christian, both teams of Division IV, by a final score of 29-12. Rust Christian's quarterback Cooper Murr was responsible for three of the Eagles' four touchdowns, and the Eagle defense forced a safety. This was a decisive win that put the Eagles in sole possession of first place of their district in TAPS Division IV. In SPC, Addison Greenhill defeated Trinity Valley School by a final score of 38-26. Addison Greenhill was in possession the entire game of the lead and did not give it up once. They forced two turnovers, and now they are in sole possession of second place in SBC 3A. That's all for now. This has been Waverly West with Texas Private School Media.
Hi, everyone. It's Jacob Bermudez, and I'll be recapping Holy Cross's big win versus Dallas First Baptist Academy. On Friday night, Holy Cross and Dallas First Baptist Academy would both travel to Waco to face off in one of the most anticipated matchups of the season. The tensions were high throughout the entire night as both teams fought to remain undefeated. Holy Cross dominated the entire first half, putting up three rushing touchdowns and a field goal to walk into halftime up 21-0. Saints offense would finally get something going in the fourth quarter when Dylan Jones hit Bradley Mays for a 47-yard touchdown to cut their deficit to 7-21. But within 30 seconds, Daniel Pettis had an answer when he went on a 35-yard run to extend the lead to 28-7. The Saints would once again look for a final prayer when Quincy Reams hit Bradley Mays for an 8-yard touchdown, but unfortunately, it was too little, too late, and Holy Cross would score one final time to bring this final score to 34-14 and remain undefeated. Holy Cross now stands at a dominant 8-0 and 3-0 in their district.
Hello, I'm Bradley Hanna, and I'm here to recap the Fort Bend Christian Academy at Cypress Christian game this past Friday. Cypress Christian moves back into TAPS Division II, District 4, where the old rivals can face once again. Both teams come into this game 2-4 on the season. Cole Whitten will be getting the start for the FBCA Eagles. The junior quarterback won his first game trying to win his second one. He finds one of the fastest players in all TXPS, Blake Hamilton, the junior wideout at Fort Bend Christian Academy. He'll take it to the house for an early Eagles touchdown. Cole Whitten gets the ball back immediately following a turnover, and he finds his senior wide receiver, TJ Smith, in the end zone. Eagles go up 14-0 early. Warriors respond as Beckett Sweeney goes to the end zone, and he finds his receiver, Wes Moreau, in the end zone for the touchdown. This will be the Warriors' last points of the game. Eagles' defense held up strong. Cole Whitten looked very solid and established himself as a leader for this Eagles offense. Capped it off with a 42-yard Mario Gonzalez field goal, his longest of the season. Eagles now move to 3-4, and they will go on to face Lutheran South Academy next week, a very hard game.
That will conclude the TXPS Media Scoreboard powered by Ryan Schroeder, who has just joined us mid-episode. Ryan, thank you for coming on. You're actually going to be able to participate in more of the episode than we thought. Any quick thoughts regarding the week or what we got to recap?
Yeah, I think things have been good. Great week. Glad I got to come down to a private school matchup that will be remembered for a while. Apologize about the background. Just got back from Dallas, so didn't have time to set things up, but I'm glad I'm here.
That's more than fine. I think it might be better than the background on the first episode we ever recorded. So I think you can get away with that. Goodness, but moving on, let us get straight into the games of the week that we have to recap. First being Midland at Fort Worth Christian. Game ended in a 21-19 win for Midland, and the only person on staff that got that was Waverly. So maybe we should all fire ourselves and let Waverly do the podcast solo for the next however long she wants to do it, because inevitably she picks better than we do. But regarding the game, I would like to make a correction on the space. I said that I stated if Midland eclipsed 14 points that they would win this game. In fact, I said that about Fort Worth Christian, and they did that, and they lost anyways. So I was clearly incorrect. But Fort Worth Christian had a chance to score or take a field goal to take the lead at the half-yard line. They chose the field goal, and on a bad snap, they lost the game. So, I mean, I was a poor decision away from being right, is what I hear. I mean, if you're on the half-yard line, I mean, tush push. It just QB sneak it. I mean, it seems quite obvious, but apparently not. Yet again, I hitch my wagon to Fort Worth Christian. Yet again, I'm wrong. That is the last time I do this year in a close game. You will never see me take Fort Worth Christian in a close game again this year. But it seems like this happens every year where Midland has some turnover. I don't know a whole lot about them. They beat a bunch of West Texas teams that I quite frankly don't care about. And then I pick against them, and they prove me wrong. So hats off to Midland. They should just hope they don't see grace this year, because maybe it'll go like last year. But I kid, of course. Walker Lott, big, big win for Midland. A good opportunity to shut all of us up. Your thoughts?
No, yeah, absolutely. You know, I think Case Cole had a really good game in this one. Brady Young and that whole defense dominated. This is what you wanted to see from Midland. You play a lot of teams out in West Texas. You really don't know what to do, what to think about this team. And they showed in a big win over Fort Worth Christian. Looking forward for both teams. I think Midland might be that second team in this district now. For Fort Worth Christian, I think you severely missed Kropaller in this one. Your biggest weapon on offense. Only putting up 19 points is not a typical Fort Worth Christian way. Missing your star receiver, that means a lot. So they have to find out how they can respond, because this could be a matchup or a similar matchup will happen in the playoffs, which I think Fort Worth Christian can be a team that goes far. They have to show that they can go far, though.
Potentially. Yeah, it is very interesting because Midland is now 2-0 in district. They play All Saints next week, which I'm assuming that's going to be a large win in favor of All Saints. But after All Saints, it's Faith they'll beat by 70, and then TCS Lubbock, who, you know, could be interesting, but I would assume they would beat. So there's a good chance they end up second. Your thoughts, Walker?
Remember, I just want to keep it quick. Remember, Midland kept it really close with All Saints last year when no one thought that was possible. Remember that at All Saints. I think they go, if it's true, and that's how it flips from last year, All Saints now travels to Midland. I'm just going to say, if that game was not supposed to be close last year, and it was, you never know, doubt there in Midland.
Well, I before I hand it to Ron, I will echo that, is that All Saints is incredibly talented, but from what I saw week one, they're still very undisciplined in spots. just with like personal fouls and stuff like that. So there's a chance they get there and just implode. I take back what I said about All Saints beating them by 40. And no one take that clip out of context. I'm walking it back now. But Ryan, Midland Christian beats Fort Worth Christian in a tight spot, have an interesting schedule ahead of them. Your thoughts quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I think I said it on the space right after. It was just the fact that I genuinely was we talked about how when after Fort Worth Christian lost to Second Baptist, we were all kind of surprised because we didn't know, we didn't know what to think. We thought Second Baptist was 100% going to lose to Fort Worth Christian. Second Baptist has flipped the script. They're now one of the best teams in D2. Fort Worth Christian now losing a district game, falling to maybe third in their district, let alone third in the state in D2. They're not even in that conversation anymore. I just think it's more along the lines of, we all picked Fort Worth Christian. We thought about, I also want to say this. We thought about the travel fatigue would be a lot, but guys, we have to remember this. Midland is used to the travel fatigue more than anyone else. Of course, they're going to be able to withhold that, even if they have to travel to Fort Worth. Overall, my thoughts just conclude with, this game was close. From what I understand, this game was a 2-point game. This game was close, and it could have gone either way. But I think Walker's right. Crop Hauler being hurt, other different factors and stuff. I think this game goes either way if played 10 times.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. But it's played one time, and that is the result that we got. Let us move on to some controversy in Houston that I alluded to in the episode preview. Second Baptist at the Woodlands Christian Academy. So I'll start with the end, basically. The game went to overtime, tied at 24. Cannon Toon throws an absolute dot on the run to Colton Hudson to go up 7 in overtime, and that would prove to ultimately win the game. For TWCA, the Santiago Fernandez to Bo Ellis connection, which I love, was certainly still there. Fernandez threw one of maybe the prettiest over-the-shoulder balls I've seen to Bo Ellis. Just effortless from the lefty. That clip was fantastic. It is on Andrea's Twitter if you want to go look at it. In terms of actual stats, Cannon Toon had 4 passing touchdowns to 4 different receivers, being Ethan Dishman, Jordan Jones, Alan Thomas, and Colton Hudson. Nobody got a rushing touchdown because Cannon Toon was like, I feel like throwing them today and not running them in. But, and then as mentioned, Santi Fernandez and Bo Ellis are just two incredible offensive players for TWCA. But let us move into the controversial part. We've all seen the clip. If you haven't, I would just say go look. I forget whose Twitter it's even on. I think it's on Mr. Boker's Twitter. But Walker, was that a safety?
I think it was. And me and Ryan went at this in our text message. I think the defensive lineman, I forget his name, the guy who I told in the preview was going to have a good game. Shout me, I know ball. Anyways, I think. Cannon tries to stutter step, try to get away from the pocket and like reverse around him. And I think while doing that, his momentum goes into the end zone. And I think he tackles and sacks him into the end zone. I think it therefore should be a safety. And there's a comment underneath, I think by John Walker of the LSESN, that basically said that, it didn't matter because they still scored. I agree. They still scored on that, punt, and then they got the ball. But that's 2 points plus 7 and equals 9 instead of just 7. Those 2 points, especially in an overtime game, matters a lot. So that's a bad, bad call by the refs. And supposedly the refs were bad all night. So, Ryan, you want to disagree with me?
I do disagree because the main thing about it, and this is what is at all levels, is the fact that you can't really it's going to sound weird, but the safeties aren't really ever called because of forward progress, and forward progress gives so much leeway to the quarterback, right? Or, whoever gets tackled in that situation. If he at least one point was on the 1 yard line or the half yard line at some point, and they thought that the defensive lineman's momentum brought him into the end zone, then at that point, forward progress puts them back on the half yard line. Literally, you can't be tackled into the end zone. You have to be in the end zone and be tackled. That's kind of how the rule I think is done. And then it all just comes down to, did Cannon Toon himself go? Did he use his momentum to go backwards? Like, did he himself do that, or was he tackled into it? In my opinion, he was tackled into the end zone, which then would put him back on the half-yard line with forward progress. That's my personal opinion.
I'm going to be honest. I never even really responded to that in the group message because I watched that video probably 14 times and I just watched it another 10 times. I have no idea if it's a safety
you can't
or
say,
not.
It's hard. It's
No,
so
you can't
hard.
tell. The angle's really bad. If I can't even take, because it's, this is the last thing I'll say before we move on, but like Ryan's saying, it seems like he's kind of moving forward and then gets hit back in the end zone. I don't know. I don't know.
It's
and
so close.
Yeah, it's shaky. At the end of the day, Second Baptist survives, but it really just shows how good TWCA is. And they'll be around pretty, at least for a decent time in November, I'll have to say. But
that's a semifinal team in D2. I truly think TWCA is the semifinal team in Taps D2.
And I think they're a team that could sneak their way, you know, to a state championship. No, I really do. I think they're
absolutely
that solid.
Absolutely.
I completely agree with that. Let us move on to some SPC action in the form of Episcopal versus Kincaid. This turned out as a 16-14 victory for the Falcons. This was a gritty defensive affair. Out of 165 receiving yards for Kincaid, Wayne Shanks accounted for 126 of them. Including his rushing yards, Wayne Shanks accounts for over 60% of the Falcons' total offense as a sophomore, by the way. It's like, I guess that's a 15 or a 16-year-old, which is crazy. But also scoring the only two touchdowns on the night for Kincaid was Shanks, as Max Rader knocked through a 37-yard field goal to account for all of Kincaid's points. Kincaid survives. Jack Klosek detailed the playoff picture. So out of the three teams in 4A that are really contenders, now EHS has beaten St. John's. Kincaid has beaten EHS. If Kincaid beats St. John's, then it's Kincaid EHS, cut and dry. But rarely do things happen in a cut and dry manner in the SBC, especially 4A. So in that triangle, if St. John's now beats Kincaid, that means it's going to come down to point differential within those three teams. And I'm not smart enough to explain to you. I know how it works, but the point differential, like Jack Klosek said, it's not total season point differential. It's not conference play point differential. It's in those three games who has the best point differential. That's the easiest I can explain it. And to be completely honest with you, I would prepare for the latter scenario, because I'm not saying that St. John's is a better team than Kincaid, but insanity always happens in SPC 4A, and I would put money on the crazy happening. But I'm not going to say I'm going to pick that, because I would be wrong. But Walker, Kincaid gets a narrow win over EHS with St. John's looming in the distance. Thoughts, comments, concerns?
Yeah, from what we heard, it was just the offenses were rough, but I'm glad that I knew the Knights were a real deal, right? You know, you both said it, that it was kind of a wild pick, and I was a field goal away from winning that game. And so I still lost the game, yes, but I'm glad to know that EHS is still a really good team in SBC 4A, like we thought they could be. And they have the dudes. Brody Barti's the real deal. They probably prove it to themselves, right? That, hey, like we can win state again this year. And it's like we always say, it's hard to beat a team twice.
Yeah, it certainly is. Ryan Schroeder, EHS narrowly falls to Kincaid. Your thoughts?
I have to go back to see if we both clowned you on that. I don't think we both clowned you on the EHS.
Not
pick.
On the video.
Oh, I forgot you took EHS. Yeah.
That was why I just did that whole spiel.
Yeah, yeah.
I zoned out. I'm not going to lie to you. I was looking at the meme I sent you.
I know.
He took EHS, but he's literally saying that we clowned him for it. I honestly don't remember. I'm going to have to watch it back. I should have done that when you said
I
that
think
on the space.
I might have called him crazy.
It was off the episode. I said I don't know how that game is going to go, but I'm confident EHS. And y'all said, I was like, is that a crazy thing? And you both went, yes, that's absolutely crazy. I will...
And I'll come back now and say, with the way the game turned out, it's not crazy. It was wrong to say.
That's all. That's all. That's all I want to say. That's all I wanted.
Y'all don't apologize for anything. Y'all both called me crazy last week and didn't apologize. I picked Green Hill this week. You didn't apologize. Like, you know, I'm not crazy. I make good picks sometimes too. St. Mike's, another one. I got it right again. I'm always on the end of that statement.
I never said that. You're acting crazy.
Yeah, you are acting. That's insane.
Right, we're gonna gaslight Ryan Schroeder.
Yeah, we are.
That's fine. All right, cool. That's just kind of how things go. No, for this case specifically though, it definitely, in my opinion, I thought Kincaid was far and away the best team in 4A. Said that a million times. They're definitely not far and away the best team in 4A. And in a bracket type scenario, if it was four teams, I think it leads to maybe more parity, I guess, in a bracket format, but it's not a bracket format. There'd be two teams that'll play for the SBC 4A championship. And when you only have to game plan against one team, the SBC 4A championship, I think Kincaid will get it done against whoever they play, whether that be EHS or St. John's or however things end up. But I think these two teams are the teams you'll probably see again. I think from what Jack told us, it's the most likely outcome. But yeah, I could see this game still. I still think it goes in Kincaid's favor a second time, but yeah, it's a lot closer than I guess I would have imagined.
I just want to say that we have been robbed of a Kincaid St. John's EHS ESD playoff in the SBC. That would feed families, and it has been ripped away from us. And the four team playoff structure must return to the SBC at some point. We have already stated we will accomplish that. How, I don't know, but it will be done. I can tell you that for certain. Let us move on to a game in the Brazos Valley. We actually had three people at Central Texas at Brazos Christian for a battle of supremacy in Division Four South. And Brazos Christian improves to 7-0 after a dominant defensive effort against Central Texas, resulting in a 27-12 victory. Senior Jackson Caffey hauled in a 60-yard touchdown pass from sophomore Cooper Murr to get the Eagles on the board. Jackson Caffey also had an interception. Following a rushing touchdown by Central Texas, it was 7-6 at the half. And that's where I kind of got like a blackout period from the rest of the half because the service was really bad at Brazos Christian that evening. But I got Waverly West to fill me in on the rest. She said they scored three times in the second half, coming from Cooper Murr with a long touchdown run, Jackson Caffey with a short touchdown run. That was set up by a long reception by Isaiah Perkins. And then Cooper had a quarterback sneak at the end, and then Central Texas snapped it out of the back of their own end zone for a safety, which is the most Division Four thing I've ever heard in my life. But Brazos Christian, this was a wider margin of victory than I thought. It seemed about on brand at half when it was 7-6. It was really tight, and the Eagles really opened it up. I think they have established that it's them and First Baptist in Division Four. When while First Baptist, not to mince words, is probably head and shoulders above Brazos Christian, and that's no disrespect to them because they're head and shoulders above most teams in TXPS. But Walker, big win for the Eagles. Seems like they're on a collision course with First Baptist in Waco.
Yeah, I gotta give credit to Coach Wash. You come in, Central Texas defense was way better than we expected it to be, holding a really good offense to only 7 points in the first half, right? You gotta shout out him for kind of tipping the cap to Mike Elko's halftime adjustments that we all know and love, and adjusting at halftime to really dominating in the second half and putting up points, which you desperately needed. They play tough physical football, especially on the offensive defensive lines, which is really good by Brazos Christian. And I'll talk about it in a second with a little bit with First Baptist losing last week. You saw that they are beatable. And so First Baptist needed this to show confidence. First time they're ever 7-0 in school history. Shout out to them. I believe if they knock on wood win out, that's a district title in their hands, which is great to hear. So good win for them. I'm excited to see how they go forward. And not to get too like serious, but I got to shout out Isaiah Perkins for playing in this one. That's awesome by him and scoring too. That I mean, not many people can go have been through what he's been through at this age and putting support and getting support by his team and playing for his team with everything else going on in his life. You got to give a shout out to him, man. That's awesome to see.
Absolutely. Incredible performance by him and the rest of Brazos Christian, really rallying as a community that game. It's beautiful to see. And as important as we think football is, it's much, much, much bigger than that. Ryan Schroeder, Brazos Christian gets a big win over Central Texas Christian. Your thoughts, comments, concerns?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, y'all hit it right on the head with everything that I was going to talk about. Just overall, this kind of deciding that other part of district when it comes, or that other part of Division Four, the South Side, as that was called, South Side Division Four, essentially, and just kind of deciding who's probably going to be that spot. with First Baptist, but they're going to have to play again. They're going to have to play again here in about a month and a half or so. And that'll truly decide who goes to Waco. But I think this is a clear telling way of seeing kind of the separation between Brazos and everybody else, and to keep the undefeated season alive for Brazos this year too. Kind of looking like a lot of fun down there in y'all's scape of the land, I guess.
Absolutely. My former domain, although I still claim that, I will be down there this weekend for the LSU game. I just fell into two tickets for that, so that will be a fun time. Moving on to Holy Cross versus First Baptist, a game that Walker was live and on site for. Walker, detail this and how it went down.
Yeah, this was kind of smash mouth football by Holy Cross and their 34-14 win over First Baptist. Basically, from the first snap of the game, Holy Cross controlled the line of scrimmage. Jose Lerma and Sam Valenzuela, shout out to me for saying that correctly, dominated on defense, especially the defensive line. And then the whole offensive line, like all year, just dominated in the running game. I just think that First Baptist really hasn't played a physical team to that level before, especially in their district and their games, and it kind of showed. It didn't help as well, where the receiver and the QB to receiver connection just really wasn't there all night. Bradley Mays didn't really get going until like the late third, early fourth. I don't think Caleb Mitchell caught more than one ball all game. You know what I mean? And I think that a little bit of that is, I think Quincy Reams was a little bit banged up in this one, and he didn't take a lot of the passing snaps. So they had to rely on Dylan Jones, the junior. And you know, with guys like Patrick Ortiz, who's dude, one of the best corners in Division III this year, was last year, and Isaiah Rice, who had two picks, they kind of locked down the receiving core for First Baptist pretty well most of the game. On offense, Daniel Perez and sophomore AJ Agula were great in the run game, had solid nights. And then our guy, Gibby Alvarado, had a 93-yard drive in like the late fourth, basically by himself on QB keepers to drive down there and score. You got to give him credit. He's a tough, gritty player. And like I put in the headshot, what he is basically that team. Tough, gritty, and he will outwork you. And that's truly what this team is. Looking forward, I think First Baptist needed this, right? Especially in a district where it's bad compared to them. And their only competition, right, Wes, was y'all in the second, third week of the season.
And competition is a strong word.
And that's what I'm saying, right? They truly haven't had competition this year. They needed someone to hit them in the mouth and be like, okay, we're human. Like, we need to be able to respond. We need to be tough. We need to out-physical them. And with a team like Brazos Christian that runs the ball well, will hit you and will play well in the line of scrimmage, they needed this win. And they needed to show and prepare for teams like Brazos Christian when they come into town. This is the standard of physicality y'all have to play at. So that's good for them. This was a game to prep them up for playoffs. On Holy Cross's side, final words, they desperately needed this too as well. They needed to play a team that is technically more talented than them, right? Especially at the skill positions. And that's going to be basically how it's going to be when they play Dallas Christian, right? They're going to have weapons. They're going to have bigger guys. And even though they did play them tough last year, it shows to them that they can play with teams like DC and First Baptist by just playing how they play. Tough, physical, and outworking you. So this is a big, big win for Holy Cross.
Yeah, definitely so. Ryan Schroeder, I'm not going to add anything else because I think Walker summed it up perfectly. And any quick thoughts regarding Holy Cross, First Baptist?
I was just going to touch on that last point you made, Walker, just talking about like playing Dallas Christian, like, you know, and stuff. It really is skill position, though, that they, you know, aren't seen as having high-level players. But I think overall, from just like the O-line and D-line perspective and just like the other gritty parts of the game, like Holy Cross is better than most at that, in my opinion, like better than most. And hence why they would be favored over Dallas Christian is because Dallas Christian can't compete with that part of Holy Cross's game. Skill position wise, Dallas Christian looks better on paper. So did First Baptist, though. I don't know. I think you hit it exactly right, Walker.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
And not saying they don't have dudes at the skill positions, like Patrick Ortiz, Isaiah Rice, and Nick Hall. They have dudes, but they didn't have a Speedy Nettles last year, right?
No,
they don't.
No.
And so they don't have any guy going D1. Other teams they play, especially DC, they will. You know, that's going to be the difference.
Which they should, by the way. Why are none of those, you know, schools down there even? These kids are tough, man. These kids are real tough at what's it called at Holy Cross. I don't know. We need to see more colleges in that area looking at that.
Yep.
Absolutely. It'll be incredibly interesting to watch the collision course we've set up all year for Holy Cross DC in the state title game, but we will see if that ends up materializing. Moving on to the last game to cover, a game that Ryan and I were at, Parrish at Liberty Christian, the game of the year to start. This was the Jalen Hawkins show. I've said it before and probably two times on the space. It's so crazy to me that the most unknown, and I say that in quotes because people know who Jalen Hawkins is, but the most unknown receiver in this core is a San Diego State commit. He broke up a touchdown on Parrish's opening drive. On the next drive, Murphy throws a back shoulder ball to him while he is blanketed by a defender and absolutely mosses him for a touchdown. The next offensive drive for Liberty, Murphy throws a 45-yard absolute nuke to Hawkins, and he scores. He is such a dynamic playmaker, and anyone on this Liberty receiving core, you get the ball in their hands, they make plays, whether it's him, whether it's Janusek, whether it's Brown, whether Cooper Witten's in there. It's a wealth of riches at Liberty. Here's something that's concerned me about Parrish's defense since week one. Against teams that have four great wideouts, there's a big hole in the Panthers' secondary that teams have continued to exploit, and it happened several times here tonight. Basically, Ryan got there late, and he asked what he missed, and I said, just the Jalen Hawkins show, because up to that point, that's all that it really was. You know, Chase Garnett scored with 6 minutes left in the half to extend the lead to 21 for Liberty Christian. Both quarterbacks traded rushing touchdowns, and Anderson found Darby for a 50-yard touchdown to make the score 28-13 at the half. However, Chase Garnett went down with a hand injury that, from what I'm hearing, doesn't sound great, and he did not return to this contest. Blake Brisker was certainly solid in spots, but Garnett's punishing presence was certainly missed. The teams traded touchdowns in the third, with Janusek and Pyle both scoring long ones to make it 35-20 halfway through that third quarter. Jalen Pyle makes one of the craziest jump ball plays I've ever seen in my life to make it an 8-point game. That clip's on our Twitter and Instagram. Go look at it if you haven't already, because it's a play maybe only Jalen Pyle can make. But towards the end of the game, Parrish got down to the Liberty Christian 4-yard line, down 8 points as first and goal, and had their field goal ultimately blocked by CJ Witten. Parrish gets a stop on the ensuing drive and drives it back down to the Liberty Christian 5-yard line, and they get stuffed again off of a pass breakup by Cade Violi. That ultimately seals the game for Liberty. Basically, the ebb and flow of it was Liberty raced out to a big lead, 21-0. We were like, oh, this might be, you know, the end. And then after Garnett, I mean, Parrish, you know, started to come back, but then after Garnett went out at the half, it really seemed like Parrish started to get momentum and catch fire. And long story short, there's not a huge chasm between these two teams, I think. Both have elite talent, and if they face again in the playoffs, I think it would have to be the state championship after Parrish gets past Prestonwood. Basically, it would be a close game, I think. But the high-level takeaways for me is Jalen Pyle's best receiver in TXPS. I think he solidified that this game. Parrish's lack of a run game is a problem in the face of elite talent. They don't have an Andrew Paul. They don't have a Maddox Reed. And I think that hurts them this year against teams like Liberty. And also, Liberty Christian, I don't know if they're a write-in like guarantee for that state title if Chase Garnett's done for the season. And that's just a testament to how good Chase Garnett is. Basically won them that Prestonwood game with like 200 yards receiving. His presence is certainly going to be missed. They'll need to figure that out with him gone. But Ryan Schroeder, you were there as well. High-level thoughts from the game.
The one thing I want to point out, right, is that we're about to see the third part of this series happen this weekend with the Prestonwood versus Parrish battle now at this point, just to kind of collapse all these things together, which it would be quite hilarious it would have been more hilarious if Prestonwood would have beat Liberty, and then Liberty would have beat Parrish, and then Parrish would have beat Prestonwood. But we live in a world now where Liberty did both. But I was just going to say, from the game perspective, you're exactly right. Like when I got there, Parrish was, you know, getting it on in the second half, really showing that they're going to make a comeback. I said this on the space, and I kind of want to tweak what I said because I don't like how I said it exactly. But I think I'm just going to say the emphasis on special teams in total, I think, was one of the things that I really think, was one of the problems across all of private schools, just because you have so many things to focus on. We don't have time to focus on special teams as much as people wish they could. And I think that leads to games like last week where the game, or yeah, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, Prestonwood Liberty comes down to a blocked field goal at the end of the game. This game where Parrish is driving and they're on the what, five, Liberty 5, Liberty 6 yard line, and they decide to go for a field goal to make it a 5 point game instead of an 8 point game. And then the drive basically becomes a wash because they get their field goal blocked. Like, and you were only 5 yards away from throwing a Sawyer throwing a touchdown pass to Jalen Pyle. It just there's so many things that could have happened. And I think it just all comes down to the priority of special teams, and how things are and where we're at as a league when it comes to kickers being able to make these field goals and stuff. But overall, in the general overview of the game, I can genuinely say that, Liberty doesn't look that much better than Parrish. Liberty doesn't look that much better than Prestonwood. None of these teams look that much better than the other. And like we've said forever, this entire season, the parity in D1 is like we've never had it before. It's finally a three-headed race.
Yeah, absolutely. I think to your point on special teams is that to have an elite special teams unit, your special teams coordinator has to be dating somebody that has a rabid monkey as a pet. If you know, if you if you know, you
What does
know.
that mean?
Yo, yeah, I'll link it to you after the episode. If you know, you truly know.
Oh,
But
that's elite, man. Oh, man. I never thought you would reference that. Oh, that's Hall of Fame.
Some people
Oh.
will get it, but Walker Lott,
Oh.
off of that interesting note, Parrish falls to Liberty in a game that ended up being closer than it thought it was going to be. Your thoughts on the takeaways?
I have none, man. I'm just glad this game lived up to the hype. I'm glad the Prestonwood Liberty game lived up to the hype. And this week, Parrish Prestonwood's going to live up to the hype. These three teams are awesome, man. They're talented as some of the most talented teams in TXPS. And they're showing it week after week why Texas High School football is so much fun. I don't have much. I think y'all said it perfectly. I just can't believe you went there. That's unbelievable. We're not cutting that out. That is awesome.
Shout out to Jeff Banks. But that being said,
Hey,
that
I just love, I want to say this. The Jeff Banks, you know, where you block someone and you just go like this, right? And you don't block them with your hands. That's the Jeff Banks special right there. He was the first guy I ever really saw people do it under him. He changed special teams and he also changed Twitter for one night. It was an unbelievable night.
old Jeff Banks and pole assassin. But yeah, no, that but hey, he lost the game yesterday, and that's all I really care about. But
Oh, yeah.
this isn't a college football podcast. This is a Texas private school podcast. And that being said, that's all the private school ball we have to analyze for the best slate that I think that we've covered since we started the program. There goes my AirPods. That means it's probably time to wrap things up. Barring any further comments from the Peanut Gallery, we will be back in your feed this coming Thursday with the Week 9 preview. But as for the Week 8 review, I have been one third of your hosting crew, Wes Tollison. Walker Lott and Ryan Schroeder have fantastically been themselves. We will see you in the next episode. See you later.